Well, I think we can begin by my just telling you over a very cute pirush of the Gra on yesterday's sugya, which will meanwhile will allow people to make their way in. Remember that we had the maaseh of the daughters of Shmuel that were very smart, and they walked into the Bezdin, and they said that we were shvuyot, and because of that, they had a pesha osar, and they realized, oh, this must be the daughters of some very big. Sure enough, we're Shmuel's daughters. Now, what's interesting is that in the Yerushalmi, it has the rest of the story, which is that each one of them had a maisa. One got married, one got married mamish, and her husband died, and the other one was an arusa, and her husband died before he took her to the chuppah. So people were saying, oh, so maybe they lied. So the Gemara says over there, this is Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Chas v'chalila, they didn't lie. So what happened? Why did these people, their husbands died? They died because of the chait. It's the strangest thing of Hananiah, who was the son of the brother of Reb Yoshua, who went and was Ma'aber the Shana outside of Eretz Yisrael. What in the world does that have to do with the Maaseh of the Benos of Shmuel? That the husband should die based on the chait of something that's completely unrelated. So there's a fabulous pshat in the Gaon, which he says that the pshat is that they did sleep with these people, with these Goyim. But the reason that they said that they are Tahorot was because they were still Betulot. Why? Because they were less than 3 years old. So because of that, they were allowed to still get married here, according to a Kohen. But that was only according to Hananya, because he had made the year a month longer. But since he did it in Chutz Laaretz, it wasn't kosher. So because of that, they were the people that had been Seir Kohanim, that were Seimech on their Eidos, ended up making a mistake because of the fact that they weren't really betulot, because they were already post 3 years old. Okay. Anyway, an amazing pshat. And meanwhile, that allows us to begin today's daf, everybody being already here. And we're holding at today's daf, Masechet Ketuvot, is daf Chav Dalet. And we are holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. So until now, we were talking about the case of two women. One was Me'idah on the other one. And we said that since an Eid Echad is believed, so one can be Me'idah on the other one. And we're not Chayish Legomlim. Continues the Mishnah. The same thing would be true about two men. They're over there. If one of them says, I am a Kohen, and the other one says, I am a Kohen, they're not believed. Because you can't be Me'idah on yourself that you're a Kohen, but if they're Me'idim Zeh al Zeh, so each one is saying that the other one is a Kohen, that is believed. And we'll see what it means, Agabe. What is it enough to believe that even though we're worried, we should be worried, you'd think, for Gomelim, because each one is saying that they're both Kohanim, and therefore they're made on the other one. We'll see that that's gufo going to be part of the machlokas in the Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Ein ma'alin lechuna al pi eid echad. You cannot ever, on the basis of an eid echad, be machzik a person as a kohen, and this is true, even where we don't have a chashash of gaimling. Kol shekein over here, where we do have a chashash of gaimling. Omar Rabbi Elazar Ematai, when do we say that an Eid Echad is not sufficient as Tafke B'mokam Sheyesh Orerin, where there are people that are claiming that he's not a kosher Kohen? The Gemara is going to explain all of the different shitas here. Avu B'mokam She'ein Orerin, Ma'alin Lekuna Pidecha Eid Echad. If there's nobody that's tining that he's not a Kohen, then we would be Ma'ale on the basis even of an Eid Echad, and this would be true. But Rabbi Elazar basically seems to be saying the same thing that the Tanakhama is saying, The only difference is that according to Rebbe Elazar, in this case, it's not acceptable. Why? Because over here, we do have the chashash of gomlim, since each one is a chashud, that maybe he's saying the other one is a kohen in order that that one should be made that he's a kohen. Masha Inke in the Tanakama holds, even in this case, it's okay. We're not chayish for the problem of gomlim. So that's the only machlokas between the Tanakama and between Rebbe Elazar. Then we have yet another shot, another shita, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shum, Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, Ma'alin lekuna, Alpi Eid Echad. And of course, that seems to be just a repeat. The Gemara is going to ask, what is the nafkamina between this and between the two shitas that we had before? Anyway, the question now is that we've wrapped up all of these Mishnayos over here. They all seem to basically be talking about the Mishnayos are all the same thing. I mean, we're bringing an awful lot of different proofs to the concept of a Peshosar. Why do we need so many different Mishnayos telling us the same thing? Right? We started off with the opening Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua's made that if somebody says, this field used to belong to your Abba, and I bought it from him. Yes. And then we had the Mishnah about the Eidim. The Eidim say that this is Ksav Yadenu, but we were Anusim, etc., etc. Then we had the Peshas of a woman who said, I was an Eishes Ish, but currently I am divorced, and therefore I'm no longer an Eishes Ish. And then we had yet another Mishnah that talked about the case of Nishbeti. I was Nishbeti, but I'm still Tehrani. That was the latest thing that we had. And then we moved on to discuss the other Mishnahs here, which has to do with Nemones Bichla, without getting into the Perzos HaPeshahita. So let's just talk about what the point is of all of these different Mishnahs. So the opening Mishnah talked about that Meida Reb Yehuda in a case where the person says, Sada Zushal Avicha Ita, and I bought it. So I might have thought the reason that over there we believe in, based on Pesha Aser, is only because there's an indication that in the opening part of his statement, he was already planning the last part of the statement. Mishum de'ika drora de mamena. I mean, obviously, a guy's not going to stop and come along and say this belongs to your father unless he has an explanation of what he's doing in it. So there we expect him to be concluding the statement by saying something. Avo Eidim, where an aid says that this is Ksav Yadenu. Over there, okay, when we hear the words Ksav Yadenu, who said, do we have our ears attuned? Well, what's he going to say about it? No. Why should we? It's a standard moment in which they're simply saying what it is that they need to say about their signatures. They're not putting themselves into a funny position that needs explanation. So maybe over there, the concept of Kimon Shigit Shuvin Chozer Umagid is more important than the idea of Peshas or Peshahiter, because it isn't in any way indicated that the statement has another part. So maybe over there I would say, we don't believe their additions to their statement. It was a change of mind. And the moment that we're choshish, it's a change of mind, of course it's no longer believable. There. Now let's say, if that's the case, then why not just teach us this case, the case about the Eidim? I would have said, because over there, they're not saying anything about themselves. They're objective people that are talking about somebody else, a different person's contract. So over there, I would say, Mishum de la Alma. There's nothing in it for them over here, and they're completely objective. Masha Inkein, in the case of Sada Zuchel Avicha Eta, over there, he is trying to get himself the right to stay there. Maybe we don't believe a Peshas or Peshahiter when it is personally relevant. Aim alone. And what if I would have known both of these cases? So why do I need the third case about the Eishes Ish? I was an Eishes Ish, and now I am Gerusha. Because I would have said, okay, this is Nogea Mamon. Aval Eishes Ish is Nogea Isser. Maybe when it comes to Isser over there, I can't rely on a Pesha Asar because the Torah says that you need to have the two Edim in order to be kovei any kind of isurim. So Emalo, maybe we don't allow an apesha aser. Therefore, I need to have this one as well. Yeah, but I don't understand. Isn't the next case the Nishbeti Vitorani? That's also Isser. So what would be the point? That doesn't add anything. Ah, says the Gemara, it's true. It really doesn't add anything. The Nishbeti Vitorani Lamali, but I do want to deal with the issue of what happens if you lose your Pesha Asar after you already got married. So since I wanted to get to the end of the Mishnah, which is Imishanis Eit Bo Edim, HaRezu Lo Tetzei, so because of that, I needed to put in that case. Wait a minute here. That's not necessarily true. Because remember, we had a machlokas about what the closing the words in the Mishnah mean about Imishanis Eit Bo Edim. I mean, if you're telling me, like the Mandi Amar who said, that was Rabbi Paravin, and he said, those words in the Mishnah are going only on the Seifa, which talks about Nishbeti V'Torani. So then I understand why it is that we had to add that case, because it's coming to tell me the only case, remember, because it was an Isser Lav, it wasn't an Isser Misa like Eshes Ish, so that was the only case where I could say that if the Edom show up later, that she stays with her husband. But what if you were like Rav Hoshaya? Rav Hoshaya said it going back on the Reisha even, which means the Kol Shekein on the Sefer where it was just an Isser Lav for a Kohen. So then if I'm not adding anything and I have the Kol Shekein anyway, I'm not anything in terms of Pesha Asar because I already know that it applies even to Isurim. So what's the point at all? Okay, you're right. You're right. All right. So there's another reason why it is that I needed to talk about the case of Nishbeti V'Torani. It's because we wanted to have the next bishop was talking about the case of Shtei Nashim Shenishbu, that over there we can actually believe each one about the other one, that the other one wasn't raped. In that case we need. Why? Why do I need that case? Says the Gemara, Shtei Nashim Shenishbu Lamali. Ah, because you see, since each one is talking about the other one, it's very suspicious. It looks like they are sufficiently sophisticated to know that one aid is Neman, so they made a deal with each other. You be the one aid that I wasn't raped, and I'll be the one aid that you weren't raped. And then we get out of problem, which is called Gomlim. So Ma de Tema Nechushna Gomlim. I would certainly have thought that that is a very reasonable problem, isn't it? Kamash Malan, that where it is that we allow an aid Echad, we are not Chayshinan Legomlim. Okay, but then that seems to make our latest Mishnah meaningless, because what would be the point of Shnei Anashim? So Shnei Anashim Lamali, the same thing is true about two men, where one says he's a Kohen, the other one says the first one's a Kohen, that over there, we are also not Chashin Legomlim, according to the Tanakhama, but we know that now, right? Well, yes, but remember that it turns out that not everyone agrees here. Bishop de Gaboyla, Misli Plukta, the Reviewed of Rabbonan. Remember that we have this very important machlokas that's coming along, and because of that, I needed to know the various other shitas where there's a difference where we are kashir legamlim and the other nafkaminas that we'll see in a moment. Tana Rabban. So now those machlokas in the Mishnah become more mevurar here in the Braisa. Tana Rabban. Ani kohen v'chaveri kohen. Ne'eman la'achilo b'truma. So let's say the case that we have in our Mishnah. So we have two people come along. Each one basically is saying, I'm a Kohen, my friend is a Kohen. So each is believed in terms of the other person's being a Kohen vis-a-vis Achilas Truma. But that is only Benogea Truma. But he's not Ne'eman Lahasio Isha. On the other hand, he's not allowed to be considered to be 100%. We're going to see that there are special dinim about being boidek four different generations when it comes to have a woman who is absolutely free of any kind of psul kuhuna. So even though all of this, of course, is just malim, malu asbiyuchsin, but over here, because of that, we need two people to be involved. Okay, there's a whole machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos as to whether we also should be chayshe, that maybe he's a mamzer or an asin. This is what Rashi says. Tosfos brings many rayas that can't be referring to that. Therefore, he learns it's only referring to this question of being able to be part of that whole beautiful genealogy chart where we're bedek all of those doras before. So that is not covered, because of Maila Nasa B'Yuchsin, is not covered by an Eid Echad, and we need to have three men that come along. Each one has two being made about him. That you can do, even though there too, there would be a problem of Gaimlim, but wherever we have that, two people, we don't have any chashash of that, and that we're mekabel, therefore, even legabi lasio isha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, absolutely not. I disagree with the Tanakama. And even, forget about Yuchasin, even legabi achilas truma, you also need to have two edim for each one, which means you have to have a total of three. Shnayim edim alzeh, v'shnayim edim alzeh, each one of them has two witnesses being made. So, I mean, what it seems to be is that the Tanakama holds that when you have people that are giving edus that look like there was some kind of agreement between them, which is called gomlim, there is no chash of gomlim. Masha enken Reb Yehuda is chashash for gomlim. And therefore, that would be the whole problem. Masha enken, if we have two people, for that we're not chashash for gomlim. That's what we thought. So Lameima de Rebuta Chayish Legaimlin, Verabonan Lo Chayish Legaimlin. That is very strange to say that's the Machlokas, because it happens to be that the one who is most famous for not being Chayish Legaimlin is Rabbi Yehuda, who Dafka argues on the Chachamim who are Chayish Legaimlin. So something's very weird if all of a sudden here in this Mishnah, they're doing the opposite of what they do all over. Because take a look at the Mishnah in Tmai. Va'ibcha shaminili. That's not. Hachamarim shenichnesu le'ir. So you've got basically two trucks. Each one of them is selling various agricultural produce. And, they drive into town and they open up the side of the truck, you know, and they're selling. And so, the people come over to one of the guys and say, you know, well, is your stuff meisered? And, well, he says, look, I mean, the truth is, you know, that other guy, my stuff is not really trustworthy. If you're looking for super kosher stuff, you better go to his truck, you know? So he sounds like a very honest guy and ever, wow, you know, what a mensch. He knows what's going on. It's a good thing we got somebody to give us the real dope. Of course, in the next town, they do the opposite. So the other guy says, oh, it's, you know, it's this guy that's the kosher guy. And that way they get all of the Haredi business. So it says over there that if you've got these chamarim that come into the town and one of them says, oh, listen, you know, my stuff is chadash, but the other guy's stuff is yashan. My stuff is not meiser. That guy's stuff is meiser. So if you're looking for really good stuff, you should go to the other guy. Now, what exactly is meant by chadash and yashan? Because what it sounds like it's saying is that there's a need over here to establish that something is kosher in terms of the Omer, right? Chadash and Yashan is a question of, you know, nowadays that's what it means to any super religious person. I mean, Chadash, oh my gosh, it means it was harvested before after the Omer. But that can't be the Pshat, as the Rishonim point out, because there is no din that Amei Haaretz or Chashud on Chadash. And therefore, we don't need anybody to tell us it's Yashan. So this whole thing doesn't make any sense. So Rashi learns that, no, that's not the point. The point is he's talking about the quality. So stuff that was just cut now hasn't had a chance to really come into its own. It hasn't dried out sufficiently. That's what he means. He's talking about the quality of the grain. And why is he doing that? To cover up the fact that it looks like gambling. Because if he says, well, my stuff isn't meiser, but his stuff is, you know, I mean, that definitely focuses you on the halakhic issues, and then you start thinking about, well, wait a minute. I mean, maybe the guy is just comely, right? But if he tells you, you know, Mike, the quality is really not as good. You should go to the other guy. And at the same time, he tells you, yeah, and also I don't take off Meister, but he does. So then it looks like, stop, he's an honest guy. So then you don't start thinking about the fact that all of this may be a trick to get me to buy from the other guy here, and the other guy will do the opposite there, because they're not talking about religious issues, they're talking about quality issues. And he throws in a religious issue on the side, right? That's how Rashi understands it. The Ritva understands that it means in terms of Shemitah, so that this is pre-Shemitah, and the other stuff is from Shemitah, to which also Tosfos brings riyas. We don't find that people are stam choshud on Shemitah, so why would that be even be better than Chodesh V'Yashan? Okay. In any event, those are the three main approaches. So, Eino Neman.
Can I judge the brain quality by myself?
No. Fine. So, the halacha is that according to the Tanakhama, where the Chachomim, he's not Neman. And Rabbi Yehuda says he is Neman. Okay, so apparently this is the exact opposite. It's Rabbi Yehuda says we do believe him because he holds that we don't have a chashash of Geulim. The Tanakhama does have a chashash of Geulim. So now there's a complete reversal. How do you explain that? Omer v'arabarav, Omer Rav, look, we switched in this brisa the shitas of Rabbi Gamli, of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. I don't know what else you could say. Says Abaya, no, you do not need to switch it, because there's a completely different halacha when it comes to demai. Remember that the whole idea of demai is a mamish, a big chiddush, that Chachamim were metaken, that we're going to consider all things to be a problem requiring remeisering, despite the fact that we have a rov, and rov ameoritz do take off meiser. So because of this, they weren't that makpid on. Once it comes to that, they weren't chayshes. So even though Rabbi Yehuda does usually chayshes l'gaimlim, like we find over here, when it comes to demai, he isn't. Omar Rava, I mean, you're answering half of the problem, my dear Abaye. I mean, the problem wasn't only Rabbi Yehuda. You have to tell us why they would have switched. And all you're doing is explaining why it's not a contradiction, Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, if we've got a contradiction in both phases, so then doesn't it make more sense to say that they flipped? The Rabbi Yehuda, kasha, but the Rabbanan, lo kasha. You're not dealing with the problem here, right? Therefore, I'll take shots like this. The Rabbi Yehuda, you're correct. Like you said, by demai, we're going to be making. But that makes the Rabbanan, even more problematic, no? But no. Because what we're talking about over here is Kediyom Reb Chama Bar Ukva, which we're going to discuss later, what in the world he was talking about. Bishiklei Umanuto Biado. It's talking about where he's got his professional tools in hand. And that would be Nogea here too, which we have to wait until the Gemara explains the case in order to be able to understand what it is that Rava is saying about this case. Ochanami Bishiklei Umanuto Biado. So we're talking over here that according to the Rabbonan, we're not going to believe this truck driver. And it's talking about where it's clear that he fully intends to sell this stuff. And that when he is being honest, it is not his intent to drive away without making any sales, because after all, the kosher stuff is over there. But that he fully intends, he's got a cash register out, he's got scales out. I mean, you know, like, okay, who do you intend to sell to? No, I'm not going to sell because, I mean, look, my stuff is not up to your high standards, right? Bull. So that's why we don't believe him. But we'll see in what context we had that idea here. Hey, Chaitman Reb Chama Bar Ukva. Where was Reb Chama Bar Ukva referring to? He was talking about in the Mishnah, of course, in Tyrus, naturally. So what was the story over there? Well, the story was like this. A kadar is meniach kiderotav. So you've got this plain potter, you see, right? A potter, I think. Yeah, that's Harry Potter. It's a guy that makes pots, right? So a kadar puts down his pots, and then he leaves it alone for a moment, and he goes down to the river to get a drink, then the halakha is like this, that the ones on the inside are tahar, but the ones that are exposed to the public are tame. Vatanya, but how do we explain the fact that it says in the Braisa that they're all tame? Elu ve'elu tameot. Om Reb Chama Bar Ukva, it's talking about where this guy's got a cash register, and he's got measuring the ruler and so on, and he can tell you the different sizes and everything. He obviously intends to sell. So if he intends to sell, so then of course he's been exposing it to the public that they can examine the wares, right? You break, you pay. So best way to sell. So that means that these pots have been exposed to everybody. So obviously that means you're going to have lots of Ame Aretz touching these pots. And that was Matami then. With the Shiyad HaKol, Mishma Meshes Behem, and therefore they're pos, they're Tami. But wait a minute, we've got yet another Bryce. I mean, look, obviously at this point we don't really need to talk because we're not really interested in buying pots today. But the only reason that we mentioned it was because we wanted to figure out what is Kleyum Nutobiyado, which we now know. But, oh, you know how it is. Once we start talking about it, we can't resist. So what do you do with the fact that Tanya Elu ve'elu Tahorot, it says the inner ones and the outside ones are all Tahar. That doesn't fit in at all. Omer Kama Bar Ukva, that's talking about Kishen Kliyum Nutobiyado. Over there, he obviously is this all private goods, keep your filthy paws to yourself. And therefore, why would anybody touch them if he's not offering them for sale? So therefore, we don't have a chashash that they were touched. And what do you do with the Mishnah about the Pnimiyot Torot and the Chitzoniyot Tumeyot? Where does that work out? Momanavshach. If he's got them for sale, so people are going to be looking around to see if they can find something that they want. And if they're not for sale, then they should all be torn. Oh, that case is talking about where they weren't for sale, but he put the pots down near the Rishus HaRabim where people walk by. So therefore, since you have Amei HaAretz walking by and they're wearing their coats and, you know, their skirts and the wind blows them out so that the big day Amei HaAretz, which are midras, so because of that, as they walk by, they're going to be metame any of the pots. We have to be chayshish, they're metame the pots that are close to the road, but the ones that are further away from the road, they wouldn't have gotten tame from just the wind blowing the clothes. Umishum chifufei reshut harabim, that's because they were alongside those little poles that prevent people, you know, prevent cars, from getting to people that are trying to walk along the side. So they were right next to that, and therefore they could easily have been affected by passerbyers. The Ibait Ema, or, you know what, it could be, we're completely wrong about all of this. It has nothing to do with the question of Chashin and Legomlim, which got us all confused and made us change the way we were reading the Mishnah in Dmai and the Homachlokas of Rav and Abai. It could be just a totally different issue, and we're on the wrong track. Maybe the right way of understanding the Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma is that the question of whether we're going to believe someone that he's a Kohen is nothing to do with Chashinan Legomlim, but rather we want to see the difference between the case in Demai and Truma is because they're arguing here about Malin Mitruma Liyuchsin Kamiflegei. The question over here is, if we're going to allow a Kohen to eat Truma, does that ipso facto lead him to be assumed as being kosher, and therefore anyone that comes from him, they would be able to be made that he's that they are a kosher lakuhuna, and therefore we have a problem. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's good enough proof. And therefore, if we see him, it really means to be chaylik truma as well, obviously, because eating truma, he could have been an evet. But we see them being chaylik truma and is eating truma. So then people could say, so obviously this guy is a kosher kohen. So therefore, it says Rabbi Yehuda, that in the same way that you understand that I am makbid because of mala asu biyuchasim, that I need to have two edim. The same thing is true, even agabe achilas truma, because if I'm going to accept less than that for achilas truma, so then in the end they're going to be malim liyuchsin al piyed achad, and I can't have that. Masha Einkein, the Rabbanan who hold, you can never use Achila Chaluka and Achila of Truma as being a riot that the person is a Kohen Legabe Yichus, so therefore it's not going to lead us to any kind of problems of Yichus. And because of that, we'll accept even an Eid Echad. Iboilo, what about using a star to be Mala Leyuchasin? So let's say that we've got a contract that has in it the words Barnea, Levi, Ben Amos, Hakohen, Machar et Asadeh, and so on. And we have two witnesses that sign on this. So does that mean that those witnesses are testifying that Barnea, Levi is a Kohen because it says Ben Amos, Hakohen, or do we cheshesh that he's only claiming that because he wants to collect money for preventing nosebleeds? Because as everyone knows, if you've got a Kohen whose name is Levi and he's also a Kohen, you've got an end to nosebleeds. So this is a major income creator. So that's the question. Can we trust the Edim about this? Echidami. But what exactly is it? Is that Elaim Edichtibde, Ani ploni Kohen, Chatamti Eid? What, are you saying the aide identified himself as a Kohen? I mean, who's the aide about him? No, of course not. I'm talking about where it said inside, Ani Barnea Levi Akohen Laviti Manami Ploni. That's what it's driving poor Barnea crazy. But at least it's taking his mind off of the drink, right? So, what about over there? And the witnesses are signed on that. So are they signing that indeed Barnea Levi is a Kohen? Or are they only interested about the loan? They're saying, yes, I don't know the guy's a Kohen, not a Kohen, whatever, but definitely this loan took place, right? Or do we say that when an aide signs, he's putting his John Hancock on Barnea Levi? That's the question. So do we say that it's akula molsa misade? So therefore, they obviously are smart enough to know that this guy is trying to sneak in his identity over here. So Rav Huna and Rav Chista argue about the din of a shtar. Chadamar malin, v'chadamar ein malin. Now, what about if somebody does birkas kohanim? And like we see, he's been doing Birkas Kohanim for years, so everybody assumes he's a Kohen. Is that a good proof that somebody's a Kohen? Mal ha'alot minisiyut kapayim liyuchasim. Well, that question actually can be asked according to both pshatim, legabe the dinim of truma. Tiboy lamanti yomar ma'alim mitruma liyuchasin, v'tiboy lamanti yomar de'ein ma'alim mitruma liyuchasin. This is true both Aliba the Reb Yehuda and Aliba the Tanakama. We have the same question. But I'll explain to you why. Because we can say that even Aliba the Reb Yehuda, that we're ma'alim mitruma liyuchasin, that's because we only say that by truma, because if he isn't really a Kohen, then he is a czar, and he's going to be chayev misa bidei shamayim. So, I mean, look, that is very serious. I mean, so if he's eating truma, so he must really be a kohen. Mashenken is his kapayim. I mean, okay, so the guy's got this dream of becoming a kohen, you know? So lots of kids want to be firemen. So he gets up there, you know, and he's got the hose in his hands and everything, and he's feeling really good about that. And what's the big deal? I mean, it's true that he's being over on a mitzvah saseh, which says emor lahem and not for other people, but that's an isra saseh, basically, and a kod tevorchu, you, and not zorim. It's only a lava bamech lalaseh. Odiyom aloshna, or maybe we would ask, even according to him, even here. But you could also ask it in the opposite direction. You can ask it according to the Tanakhama, because I'll tell you why. A person might have the chutzpah to eat truma, even if he's not a Kohen, because nobody's going to know. To walk into shul, and there's hundreds of people there, and to get up and pretend you're a Kohen, and that is a chutzpah. Somebody's going to yell, hey, who's that idiot up there? So because of that, it's much more likely that that would be a good proof. Or even according to him, Odilma Loshna. So this is a machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Avina. Chad omer ma'alin, v'chad omer ein ma'alin. Omar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak le Rava. What do you hold? Can we, from the fact that a person is saying Birkas Kayanim in Shul, or Marley, well, we just learned the sugya, didn't we? It's a machlokas Rav Chista Rav Avina. I know, but I'm asking you, what's the halacha? I know how to read the sugya too. So, Hilchatamai. Or Marley, so Rava says, I didn't want to get involved over here, but there's a brisa. I know the brisa. You could actually figure out the halacha very clearly. Anamatnita yadana. The Tanya. The brisa says like this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, you want to see the amazing power of a chazaka? That we don't change things unless we have real proof to change the status of an individual. Shenema. Umi b'nei ha-kohanim. B'nei chavaya, b'nei ha-kotz, b'nei varzilai. Asher lakach mibnot barzilai hagiladi isha vayikare al shemam. So we had over here a question that we had these people that had married into the family of Barzilai Hagiladi, and they claimed that they were Kohanim. So now what happened was that in the period of Ezra, when these people were coming to Eretz Yisrael, and Ezra took responsibility of being koveya the yichus of who was kosher, and everybody needed to bring a ktav yichus, and these people, they went all over trying to find the birth records that would give them a ktav yichus, bikshu ktavam b'tyachasim, and they could not locate it in all of the tumult of the Golus, and then coming back, and everything, they couldn't find their Ktav Yichus, which obviously had been with them for generations. But, these things happen in wartime, and so on, they couldn't find it. So because of that, the Vaigo'alum in HaKuna, they were thrown out of the Kuna, because they couldn't prove that they were really Kohanim. And that's because, remember, we had a big problem of intermarriage at that period, and certainly the children of those original people, if they had intermarried, they would all be pasul. So before Ezra was going to allow them to be eved in the Beis HaMikdash, they needed to prove that they weren't affected by those terrible events. They couldn't prove it. So vayomer hatirshata lahem. So because of that, Nehemiah, who was called hatirshata, as it says beferish in the pasuk, he said to them, "I'm sorry, gentlemen, but asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakodashim." Ad amod kohen l'urim ulatumim. You are not going to be able to have any of Kodesh HaKadoshim, we'll see what that's referring to, until you have Mashiach coming. Because right now we don't have an Urim v'tumim, because we don't have the Ashras HaShchina here in this Beis HaMikdash. And when Mashiach comes, hopefully very soon, if we do a good job, then we'll find out. We'll ask the Urim v'tumim. We'll ask the Urim V'tumim. And I wasn't saying what I was saying. I was saying what Hatushata was saying. But I agree. Although some time has passed. Anyway, so you see from them that what was Hatushata telling them? Not to eat Dafka Kodesh HaKodashim. But apparently, since they had been eating Truma until now, before all of this, so that he didn't change. He didn't say, well, since you can't prove your Kohanim, you're going to have to stop eating Truma, right? He just said, now that we have a Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to be allowed to eat more than that. So basically what he was saying to them, says Rabbi Yossi, is like this, Omar lahem, Hare atem b'cheskatchem. Look, you remain whatever your chazaka was. What were you eating in Bavel? Obviously, it wasn't kachin kachin to eat. You were eating truma. Okay, so then if that's the case, we call that kachin hagvul, because it doesn't have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Afkan b'kachin hagvul. When you come back to Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to eat kachin hagvul, but you cannot eat kodesh hakodashim, meaning things that come from the Beis HaMikdash, because you haven't been able to prove that you're kohanim. But you see that because of the pre-existing chazakah that was there during the time that they were in Bavel, they were allowed to continue eating. That's the point of Godol HaChazaka. Now, here's my proof, says Rava. I say, once you read this, you now know what the din is, Legabe Nisias Kapayim. Because if you're telling me that once I treat them as Kohanim, that they're going to be able to be Kohanim even for Yuchasim, so then none of this makes sense. Because now, what are we gaining by saying that they can't eat the kachim? In the end, they're going to end up eating, because now we're saying, here they are, they're obviously kohanim. No, doesn't prove anything, because this is a special case. Shiny Ocha the Riach is Kayu. Look, once everybody knows that we have made a major distinction between them and everybody else, Ezra sat there together with Nehemiah, they went through everybody's ksavichos. These guys were told, you gentlemen do not have a pass to eat anything from the Beis HaMikdash. So now everybody knows, okay, so then these guys, we don't know that they're Kohanim. That's the whole point. So because of that, we're able to make this distinction. So therefore, even though obviously they were going to be saying Birkas Kohanim, if we're allowing them to continue what they were doing at Bavel and eating Truma, but we don't have any chashash here that we're going to end up being maler them. But if we have a suffix about regular people, where we haven't established them as having a poor quality chazaka because of this homaisa, so then enochinami, maybe we would have been mala from the birchas kohanim to yuchasin. I don't know, because if not, lemandi amar mala mitruma leyuchasin. I don't understand. How do you understand? The whole sugya doesn't make any sense. You're saying that we're allowing them to eat truma. So if we're allowing them to eat truma, and you hold that the very fact that we're allowing you to eat, forget about Birkas Kohanim, we're going to allow them to eat truma. And you're telling me once we allow people to eat truma, then that means we're considering them Kohanim. So how did we allow them to eat truma? You're talking nonsense. All of a sudden you're worried about whether they do Birkas Kohanim because we're letting them eat truma. We would go from truma, obviously, because even if you hold Malin to truma leyuchsin, so then you would say, Kivin Achle Betruma Asulusum Kinu. So how could we allow them to be on their chazaka? Clearly, because everybody knows. Ela lav mishum de riach hiskayu. Everybody knows that they are not kohanim. So I understand. So why are you saying gedola chazaka? What's the gedola chazaka? We're not allowing them to do anything that is different. That's not gedola chazaka. Gedola chazaka means you're doing something which is something of a chutzpah to allow, because we can't change the status. Who called upon you to do anything? What's the big thing? Why should we answer truma? In other words, whatever answer you're giving me, that Hatershata understood that there was no chashash, that they would be able to be erlin leyuchasin, so then how does that show that chazaka is powerful? Nah, there's a big difference. Because when they were back in Bavel, they were only eating truma derabanan, and there was no truma deraisa in Bavel. Masha Inkin, now in Eretz Yisrael, there is a lot of actual truma deraisa. So apparently we're not going to change their ability to eat truma. That's an amazing chazaka. You know what? It's so amazing, it doesn't make any sense. Because that's not a chazaka. How can we allow them to go from a drabbanan to a deraisa? Okay, fine. So Ibai Zema, the truth is that now also they were only eating truma drabbanan. And they could not eat truma deraisa, even in Eretz Yisrael. But remember that truma on most things, if it isn't dagon sirosh v'yitzar, so you take off truma from all kinds of stuff, right? All fruits and vegetables. That's only derabbanan. So that truma they were eating in Eretz Yisrael, and that is also only midrabbanan. So the truth is, Betruma Deoraisa Lo Achol, which explains everything, because the only ones who say that you can go from eating Truma to Yuchasin is Dafka Truma Deoraisa. But Truma Derabanan, we would never be masik them. So Mamela, there was no Chashash. That's the answer. So then we're back to our problem. So if that's the case, then there's no Gedola Chazaka. You're not doing anything that's a chutzpah anyway. Where's the Gedola Chazaka? Ah, because in Bavel, there was no Truma D'Oraisa. So there, when they were eating Truma D'Rabbanan, there was no Chashash that they would come to eat Truma D'Oraisa. So over there, obviously, there was no problem. But now, once they come to Eretz Yisrael, there's tons of Truma D'Oraisa. And nonetheless, we didn't make a Gezeira. Why didn't we make a Gezeira? Because Gedola Chazaka. That shows how powerful the Chazaka is. Okay, I'll let you go. Even though it would be nice to get to the bottom of the... I'll just take another 2 minutes just to get to the Diak and the Pasek? Yeah, what the heck. We're in it, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. Okay, so ask the Gemara, but is that true? That Petruma D'Oraisa, they didn't eat? Doesn't it say Beferish that Hatir Shata didn't allow them to eat from Kodesh HaKodashim, which is Mashma, they weren't allowed to eat things that came from Hegdash, but they were allowed to eat Truma of any kind, even there in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Truma, Stam Truma in Eretz Yisrael would be D'Oraisa and Dagon Siras V'Yitzhar. So why are you telling me that he never allowed them to eat Truma? Nah, you see, only Mikodesh HaKadoshim Udalocho, but normal Truma D'Oraisa, they could eat. No. That's not what Hatir Shata said. He said they can't eat Kodesh, and they can't eat Kodashim. That's what he was saying. There's two different things. You can't eat that which the Torah calls Kodesh. Where's that? Kol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh. That's in terms of Achilas Truma D'Oraisa. And you also cannot eat something that's called Kodashim. Because remember we had that sugya that when a Bas Kohen gets married to a Yisrael and the Yisrael dies, if she doesn't have children, she can go back to eating her father's household's truma, but not Mura Min HaKadoshim. Even though it has the same din as truma and it normally is eaten by his family, but there it says, He betrumat HaKodashim lo tochel. So Kodesh, Kol Zor L'Yochal Kodesh, is Truma D'Oraisa. Kodashim is Muram Min Ashlomim. Huh? So that's what he was saying. V'yomar marbu Muram Min HaKodashim Lo Tochel. So that shows us that Hatir Shata never was matir them to eat Truma either. Because that's the meaning of Kodesh. Yes, Reb Barnea Levi Ben Amos HaKohen.
Let's not forget Levi Yirmiyahu HaKohen Kaganov also. But I just want to mention that in the state of Israel, you cannot just walk in and change your name to Cohen or Levi. You have to prove it. Right? Because of the advantages of walking into a community, etc. And I recall my uncle discussing also this thing in Europe. There are various protections.
So then that would mean that that guy who claims to be a Cohen from that family would be the real black sheep of the family, which would explain why you're called Selavant. It was a way of getting around the whole issue. You ain't fooling nobody.
Right. I think the halacha basket was that just because somebody was named Cohen was no proof, because so often people would take on the name for the advantages. So that itself wasn't the right.
Well, there were other reasons to take on names, remember. Like saving your life. But if you took somebody else's passport, you know.
And just for the record, when my Zeta came to Ellis Island, as Moshe Kitagorotsky, they said, Moshe Kitagorotsky, all there, be Cohen. And then his brother, all the family became, right? So my uncle changed it to Kuf Aleph Hey Nun, so nobody should think, you know, Cohen instead of Cohen. But he didn't know, he wasn't trying, he was Moshe Cohen. I remember his thing. And then just for the record, I saw John Hancock's signature on the Declaration of Independence.
John Hancock's in Barnea's neighborhood. It wasn't Stom that I said that is John Hancock is on there. Shavua Tov, everyone. B'sirot Tovot, and a week of El Yeshua Seinu. Shalom Efached. Kol Tov.